The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with John Gilroy, managing partner of the Oakmont Group, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy, managing partner of the Oakmont Group. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now, your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Sam Cayucci. He is the CEO at a company called One Huddle. Sam, how are you?
Very good. Yourself?
Sam came into town just for a lightning hit. He's going to get out of here real soon. He has a very, very innovative company, and I think many of his concepts will apply to my listeners, and that's why we brought him in here. My listeners, Sam, are federal IT professionals. They're getting pushed and pulled. They got to move to the cloud. They got to be secure. They got no budget. Budget's changing. They got no CIO. They've got to be trained in cybersecurity. They got to be trained in many different aspects of their jobs, and they don't have any money, and they want to be effective. And so that's what we're going to talk about today is effectiveness and training and new ways to approach training people. And I've got a lot of good quotes here from a guy named General Greg Tuhill that's going to apply to this conversation. But before we ramble on here, Sam, tell us about your background, please.
Great, John. So One Huddle was started. My background primarily in the workforce was a sales rep, managed a heck of a lot of sales teams over the years, and got to work pretty closely with a ton of different types of learning solutions and learning platforms. I've been in my fair share of workshops and meetings and seminars, like I'm sure a lot of your listeners have as well. And we looked at a changing workforce, a workforce that is different than previous generations in many ways. And one of the things that's changing along with technology is how do we make training more accessible, easier to consume, and at the same time effective? So with a little bit of tech background, I decided to put together a company that, in a nutshell, One Huddle is a mobile game platform for employee training. And we look at the market as we're getting the workplace ready to work using quick burst mobile games. At the same time, giving organizations an easier to manage, easier to build, and easier to deploy training solution than maybe some of the other larger learning platforms that they're using. We launched 2 years ago. We grew pretty quickly in the sports category. So I'm here in D.C. Like I mentioned earlier, we're working with Monumental Sports and the Washington Wizards and the Caps. We've expanded to ESPN in the media space. And most recently, we expanded into hospitality and government. And it's a huge focus for us from a mission perspective. How do we bring training to a workforce that is more mobile, more on the go, but more in need than ever before of having a easy access point to training to get ready to work.
Exactly. And the reason you're here is because last week we had a Brigadier General sitting in that seat. His goes by the name of Greg Tuhill, and he was the first CISO, security officer, in the White House. And he was a big, big name, and everyone knows him. And I got him in the studio, and I said, well, talk about training. What's important about training, General? And he said, have the delivery model meet the persons being trained, continuous training, and exercise that training. That's you. I mean, if a 25-year-old wants to learn something, they're going to learn it differently than a 65-year-old. And this gaming platform is something that works, and it's very practical.
You got it. The average millennial, and I'm sure everybody is tired of hearing the M word by now, but get ready because Generation Z is the one coming right up behind them. And we started the company on one data point. The average millennial will have spent over 10,000 hours on some type of game platform before they hit 21 years of age. And our perspective was, let's bring training to a platform that this workforce understands, they like to use, that's competitive and reward-driven. And like the general said, make it something that you can access on the go. Only 1% of all corporate training solutions today are mobile first. So when we built our product, you know, we built it mobile first. And when we're talking in the government space, or we're talking in other categories and industries, we make the point that most learning solutions are like that aircraft carrier trying to make a U-turn. It's hard for them to come from a web-based model to be mobile, and that's why we complement those solutions by really being that everyday-in-your-pocket add-on to what you're currently doing.
I'll tell you another thing that the general said. He said he manages data centers. He's done it for many decades. And if you look at problems with cybersecurity, if you look at problems with intrusion and bad guys getting in, 95% of the problems human-based. If that's the case, then training could have an impact on that, exactly what you addressed. Training for cybersecurity, training for health, training for running drones. I mean, there's so many applications of the federal government for improving the way they train.
All right. I would say, who wrote the rule that training had to be boring? You know, who came out with that notion that it has to be a module that you sit through? Who made the rule that it has to be quizzes and tests and assessments? And especially in the federal government, where you're about to have four different generations in the workplace at the same exact moment, you have to find a way to engage. And I would argue the one thing that's interesting is we talk a heck of a lot about how we help millennials and Generation Z. But, John, 60% of our users are boomers and Gen X. You know, I go home to see my mom and she's playing on her phone. I'm saying, what you doing? She's playing Angry Birds. You know, so I don't think that the solution is just aimed at one generation, but I do think to that point, you know, if we make training something that's more accessible and the content, especially in so many corners of the federal government, the content's the hardest part and it's really rich. But how do we get people to consume it? And that's, you know, that's kind of the battle we're fighting every day.
The Hill is a magazine we read down here. You don't read it, but in March 2017, there was an article there by the U.S. Department of Labor. And here's the headline. Government job training programs don't really work.
Yeah.
I mean, that's you. That should be the headline in your company. Should I keep going? Hey, look at this headline. It's true. I mean, the reason they call it death by PowerPoint is a reason. I mean, people just fall asleep immediately when they say the word PowerPoint. I mean, it's been played out.
Right. And there's a bunch of ways to measure what works. And, you know, we look at the number one point that jumped out to me is on our platform in the first part of this year, 71% of all of the gameplay happened outside of traditional working hours. I mean, could you imagine a world where people are on the metro and they're on the go, and if they have 2 or 3 minutes to consume a training, they can do that. So, you know, I think that I'm a sports guy, and I always try to use those analogies when we're talking to potential customers, and we say it all the time. When you work out and you go to the gym, you don't just do one modality. You have a bunch of different tools in your toolbox. And, you know, we need the tool in the toolbox that makes training something that's fun, competitive, engaging, which will drive your workforce into all of the other solutions you have.
So if you're listening to this radio station and you're listening when snow's on the ground, whatever, you can go to the numeral 1, HUDDLE.co. There's no com there. It's onehuddle.co and learn more. Brand new website. It's really a slick website. I tell you, I saw it this morning. I went, whoa, this is a very simple message. Some guy in there looking at his phone and click to learn more. So if you're in a situation where you have to train some people and you don't have much of a budget and you got to get results, and that's what sales is all about, because that can be measured very accurate with sales, especially with sports sales. This is a great way to take an adaptive. What if you're running an agency where you have young people, you got to train them something new. It's always something new. What's the best way to get it? And if you can get them to train outside of work hours, you win.
Absolutely.
Great, great, great. I want to do one quote, then we'll take a break and come back for more. I went to Twitter, followed your Twitter handle for the last couple of weeks here, and a guy named Ben Powers, he has a tweet and he talks, weaknesses due to training can be fixed. And I like that. So we've always done it this way, and we've had bad results, so let's do it again the same way. I mean, those training can be changed and improved, can't it?
Right. Everything that we do in the workplace, you could tie back to a skill that can be learned. And the one thing that's really interesting about the brain when we dove into training, you know, is that just like you can learn to do a skill well, you can learn to do a skill poorly. And some platforms reinforce bad habits. And I think that if I'm out there and I'm thinking about my workforce or my group, and I'm thinking about how do I prepare them every day, here's one fact you have to be aware of. The folks coming out of college today, they have different skill gaps because they have different experiences. I know when I grew up, John, like I used to go out and play in the playground, and I used to know when the streetlights came on, it's time for me to get home. Average millennials and Generation Z, they're in their house on their bed playing on Snapchat. It's different skill gaps. And when they step into a workplace where they have to communicate and they still have to talk to people and they have to have other interactions that they have been, you know, absent of or haven't had enough of, then it makes your job from a training perspective harder, which means we can't continue to train a 2020 workforce with the same tools we were using in the 1980s.
When I was a kid, I'd go in when I couldn't see the fly balls anymore. He's out there and you hit in the head. Okay, time to go home. You can't see a fly ball, so time to go home. And end of a nice, another summer evening for me. Let's take a break, come back. We'll talk about innovations in training, new ways to train people for the federal government, and maybe think outside the box here for this radio program and come up with new ways to maybe have your people be effective. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Our guest today is Sam Cayucci. He is the CEO at One Huddle. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Sam Cayucci. He's from a company called One Huddle. You can go to their website, the numeral one, HUDDLE.CO. There's no M on there. It's just CO, and find out everything. And you know, I tell you what, Sam, all my listeners are frustrated. You know, IT professionals work for the federal government. You know, they show up for work at 9. By 9:30, they're calling suicide hotline. They're under all this kooky pressure. They get new things to learn, new regulations. They got to comply with FedRAMP. Oh, FedRAMP changed. You got to train them again. You got to train them with this. You got to train them with that. And oh, by the way, what about the people at HHS? There's all these healthcare regulations you got to worry about, and HIPAA, and HIPAA's changing, and training and training and training. And, you know, I teach in a classroom. I stand up to the PowerPoint, and I can see people like you just going, whoa, what are the Wizards doing tonight? Whoa, Jason Worth, is he going to be around next year? No. Whoa, what's going on at third base? And they're thinking about Anthony Rendon, and I don't have their attention. And so one way I do it is by literally walking to the audience and grabbing them. But this mobile device is not a bad way to grab them either. And that's the whole training is based on mobile interaction.
Absolutely. We're in a time now where you're more likely to own a smartphone than you are to own a laptop.
You are.
And knowing that you have a generation of workers who are experts at using mobile devices, they're starting to show signs of being a hyper-competitive workforce. And on top of that, I'd argue that most of this generation of worker has got some level of trauma from going through a university experience where, regardless of if it actually prepared them, that's not the point. They're walking out with mountains of debt, and they're walking into their first job or their second job or 10, 15 years into their job, and they're still thinking about the fact that they have this loan check they got to cut every month. So with all that in mind, it's one of the points I would make is training, using terms like tests and assessments and quizzes, you know, they might seem right. However, to a workforce that looks at tests and quizzes, assessments as something they're going to be paying for the next 40, 50 years that they just went through, that's why we chose the concept of a game. Gamifying training, putting it on a platform where when the learners are on it and your users are on it, they're thinking about social interaction with coworkers. They're thinking about competing to achieve trophies and badges and other mechanics that signify to you a certificate. So we say it all the time in the federal space, you have to be certified, you have to complete certain required trainings for different topic areas. But that achievement, there's an opportunity to make it more engaging, make it more fun. It doesn't make it less serious. It doesn't make it less important. It creates an environment and a place where people understand that, you know, this is something that they want to engage with. And I'll tell you one thing that's been really interesting is when you start getting people competing against with each other on something like training, I haven't seen that happen before.
It's an exciting concept. I think the Army has got some recruiting tools. One's called America's Army, which is an attempt at this. And I did some research this morning preparing for the show, and there's an organization in California called Badgeville. Have you heard of these people?
Yep.
Yeah, and they try to set up a method to evaluate the impact of training, of mobile training. And they have some interesting numbers out there, don't they?
Yeah, so there's a few ways you measure performance or the efficacy of training, and it is the holy grail, so to speak, of measurement, you know, for any type of training impact. The first thing we're looking at is, you know, engagement. So how much engagement is actually occurring that's not required? When you get into voluntary engagement, that's a great data point to understand how well is the training working. Second part is turnover. The third part is speed of onboarding. So especially in the federal government, for example, where when regulations or certain training topics change rapidly, the key is how do we get our workforce up trained as fast as possible in it so they can start acting on that new information as quick as possible. And there's a lot of solutions that, again, they're slow moving and the results are not lasting. And one of the things Badgeville is doing is, again, creating a an achievement, which if learners today acquire a skill and it's a skill that they want to share and talk about, you are creating an environment where people are going to voluntarily lock in. And I'm sure all the IT directors on that are listening or any leader out there that has a workforce, the key here is how do you get your employees to consume training when you're not talking in front of them?
Took the train here this morning. I walked through Roslyn. There was a construction project going on. All those guys had their little orange vests on and their hard hats. And not everyone who works for the federal government is a CIO or a technology person. There are people who do construction work. There are people who drive, and they have to be retrained. And if you look at your audience, the best speaker is going to look at their audience and go, what is the most effective way I can reach this audience? Is it speaking Spanish? They'll speak Spanish. What is the most effective way? Is it wading into the room and putting my arm on someone and getting feedback? Maybe the most effective way is just to get them to train while they're on the lunch break or while they're on the way home and put it in a competitive way. And I think this is really the next generation. This is thinking outside the box and forcing people to learn things that they may not want to learn, but they have to for safety regulations.
Yep. And we build three types of games on our platform across, again, any category, any sector, any audience. We build games on product, which is essentially SOPs and systems and procedural games. We build games on the organization and the brand. So those are games, for example, we work with the city of Newark, and the city of Newark uses our platform to train their workforce managers, you know, as an example. Well, they need to know things about the city of Newark. They need to know talking points about the current mayor and talking points about initiatives that are happening across the city. Now, it's great that you're giving them those talking points in an email, but the reality is you're going to read it and you're going to forget it. So creating a game out of that content makes it stickier. The third type of game we build are games on skills, and those are games on communication, time management, professionalism. And, you know, I said so much about training. Training is so much about how quickly you forget something, not how quickly you learn something. So if I go through a multi-day workshop or I go through a few online modules and I can say that I've achieved that badge or I understand that information, the true measure of the efficacy of the training is how quickly does that fall off a cliff? And, you know, if I'm out there and I'm thinking about our workforce, whether it's the guy on the corner who's, you know, who's a maintenance or frontline worker, or there's somebody who's in a corner office somewhere, we have to learn it quickly. We have to learn it fast. And we have to learn it on the go.
Your website this morning, I took some notes, talks about level up employees in 3 minutes a day. So bring them up to speed. You know, I think a lot of training does not involve a three-hour PowerPoint presentation. Maybe it's bite-sized chunks. You know, there are a lot of people who do athletic training, and they say we should really eat maybe 4 small meals a day or 6 small meals a day instead of these big ones. And there's just a different approach to training your body, to training your workforce. And maybe the millennial generation in learning new practices, maybe it needs to be bite-sized pieces. Okay, 11 o'clock, 5 minutes, and back off.
Anybody that's ever studied for a test knows when you cram the night before and then you go to sleep and you wake up the next morning and you're in the shower testing yourself, you know, some of that material automatically sticks you were struggling with yesterday. So, John, to your point, spacing is the mechanic that we, when we kind of lift the hood on our platform and we start talking about why it works, learning is supposed to be hard. You're supposed to struggle through it. It's like learning any skill. If you're, you know, so when that struggle is created, we use testing questions disguised as a game. And when you space that material out over time, you allow a little bit of forgetting to settle in. And then when it's reinforced, it creates a stronger basis of recall. And at the end of the day, no matter where you are, skill is exhibited by, in that moment, when you're trying to access a piece of information, how quickly can you recall it, say it, or do it?
I've done 526 interviews here. I think half of them have been on cybersecurity. Mm-hmm. And many times, like the general said, cybersecurity boils down to training people. And guess what? You know, Federal Computer Week talks about that the Air Force takes cyber messaging beyond the uniform to members' families. And so not only do my listeners have to train their Air Force people to be careful, but some people may view their families as being attack vector. So how can you train someone's family in order to not to fall for a phishing scam or not to fall for some? So you have to train them in new ways. So my listeners, just they have to come up with new ways to be more effective. They don't have any choice anymore, and this is an option.
Yep. And you have to catch people when they don't realize they're being trained. So when I log on to you know, my learning platform and I spin up a new module and, you know, the guy or gal on the video is talking at me for 45 minutes and not letting me change the screen or asking me a quiz question every 3 seconds to make sure I still have a pulse. You know, I know that I am being forced through something. But if I have something that's on my mobile device, it's disguised as a game, it triggers everything you're thinking about when you think of fun, competitive, accessible, then you create an environment where somebody's going to be more open to the content.
Let's take a break, come back. Talk more about training and cybersecurity and applications for the federal government. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Sam Cayucci. He's the CEO of a company called One Huddle. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Sam Cayucci, CEO at a company called One Huddle. I know it's an unusual name, but it's the numeral one, HUDDLE.CO, and they have an innovative way to do training. And many of the listeners to this show have obligatory training you have to do, and maybe once a year they get everyone in the conference room and they do their cybersecurity training, implying that it's not going to change again for the next, well, it's going to change in 12 minutes. And so this training almost has to be small, short doses, continuous, punchy, weekly, monthly, every 6 weeks. It's not something that is like, you don't pour the concrete and come back. It's constant, isn't it?
Absolutely. And it's something that when we work with companies, they're able to think about their training calendar more thoughtfully. You know, you have 52 weeks in a year. How do you game plan what type of training is being deployed on a weekly or a monthly basis? They're able to think about a game on our platform is really a module. It's disguised and branded as a game. And, you know, when...
It's a training module, actually.
It is a training module. But again, back to that point, we don't want to trigger training. We don't want to trigger module to the learner. So we position it as a game. And the content in the game is a series of different types of questions. So it could be multiple choice. It could be true, false. There could be image recognition. There could be process flows. And you scramble games based off of the topic area. And at the heart of what we wanted to do is we realized that as managers or instructors or facilitators and leaders, you know, you're the one that's the source of either creating the content or deploying the content. It's got to be an easy tool for you to deploy, because if it's not easy for you to deploy, then it's going to fall by the wayside because you're busy and there's a lot of other stuff you're doing in a day. So then one of the things, John, on the platform is you can build a game in under 10 minutes end to end, where it takes you hours and days to probably build an e-learning course that you're going to be deploying. And if you already have that content in play, it's easy for you to take it, convert it into a game, deploy it, and like you said, let it be spaced out and consumed in a manner that's not so one and done.
Well, I'm going to play a game with you in Radio Studio here. I'm going to name a tweet, and you tell me who said it. Ready? This is a guy named Jared Center who tweeted this out last week. It's a quote. The quote is, "Training shouldn't suck." Who's that a quote from?
Yeah, so that Jared Center's our director.
That's from you. He was quoting you, buddy.
So Jared's our director of client service. And, you know, I think that back to the point on who wrote the rule, you know, who wrote the rule on training having to be something that you have to be forced through?
I wonder if that should be the headline for this interview here, is that, you know, maybe it shouldn't be boring. I mean, how do you measure effect? It's got to be effective. And you know what? It just does make sense to do it the old way because too many things are changing.
Right. And in the federal government specifically, where you're trying to attract talent to come in more than ever. And, you know, I'm probably preaching to the choir with this, but we're trying to get more workers into the federal government that are of high quality, that have great energy. And if we're going to do that, we have one of the staples we know without a shadow of a doubt, one of the number one things young workers look for and any worker looks for is to be trained properly. That's what they say when they turn over. That's what they say when they quit. That's what they say when they're coming in. So if we're showing that we are thinking forward and making training something that is more timely and easy to deploy, then I think we're going to put ourselves in it. This is a recruiting investment. It's a tool that you can use not only to train your people, but it's a tool to create more engagement. And it positions you different than other organizations because you're being thoughtful about what type of training tools you have.
This afternoon, you're on the train back to New York, and I'll give you a phrase that someone may use on the train for you this afternoon, a little casual phrase. Okay, give me a for instance. Give me a for instance. Tell me about this. Give me a for instance. That's the last two. Give me a government for instance.
Yep. So our company was based in New York City. We recently moved about a year ago to the city of Newark. And for a variety of reasons, we planted our feet in Newark to grow our team. And we were, you know, a tech startup and growing pretty rapidly. And being a member of the local community, we got to interact with the mayor's office and the people in the city of Newark. And we got to learn about their workforce challenges with their workforce office and their training and development offices. And one of the things that they struggle with is folks that walk in the door and have to complete the TABE test successfully, which is a required test that citizens would have to pass in order to gain access to not just jobs, but additional vocational training that's offered in the state of New Jersey and other federal programs. They have to pass the TABE test. It is, you know, and some of the folks out there know what I'm talking about. But the problem was they're seeing a 31% passage rate on the TABE test.
I'm sure there's listeners who can sympathize with that.
Yep. And the TABE test is, regardless of the content, it's reading comprehension, it's math, it's the content is pretty straightforward, but the folks walking in, think about the moment that they walk in the door and they're looking for work and they know that this is a hurdle they gotta get over, and then they fail and they walk out the door. Do you think they're coming back at a time when we're talking about how do we reduce unemployment and get the workforce moving again? So we had an idea for the city, and we said, why don't we take your TABE test and let's gamify it? Let's turn it into a series of quick burst games. So when folks walk in the door and they say, you know, I'm looking for work, they can provide them with access to this game that they can play that prepares them for the TABE. So when they come back in, they have a higher level of success. After 90 days, what they've seen, the folks that have been given the game after failing, so this is the kind of critical data point. So they had over 200 candidates come in that had failed the test over a 90-day window, and they gave them access to our One Huddle game to prepare and said, come back in a week and retake the TABE. 61% that came back in passed the TABE on the second attempt. And those 61% now got access to additional programs, career service counselors, and so on. That was you know, the huge success just up through last week. And then this week, as we're talking right now, my team is sitting through their additional job readiness programs because we're moving on to the next stage with the city of Newark, where beyond the TABE, we're taking all of their job readiness workshops and gamifying them, because I might be looking to go from just having a job to having a career in the city, but I don't have time at 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock every day to come into a job readiness workshop because I have to work. We're gamifying all of that so that the people in the city of Newark have access to all the training they need to be successful anytime, anywhere.
I'm going to change venues here to hospital and HIPAA training. Someone gets hired at a hospital. How do you comply with HIPAA rules? Well, guess what? It's a hard thing to do. And this whole idea of gamification for new employees and learning some subtleties of HIPAA regulations, and in the finance industry, it's PCI. Every industry's got certain specific types of processes they have to learn and repeat and go on and on and on. And I'll go back to General Toohill here, who was here last week. And he was in charge of training at an Air Force base once. And his lesson was, change the delivery model to match your audience.
It's on the mark.
That's what you're doing. You're doing his suggestion right there.
Yep, it's on the mark. Like, we opened up 10,000 hours on a game platform before millennials are 21. Generation Z coming up behind them, you know, we say they're like millennials on steroids when you start talking about a whole bunch of different characteristics. So they understand how games work. They compete on everything. And, you know, again, I keep saying millennials and Gen Z. I think that a lot of this has seeped into other generations as well. But we have to train people in the environment that they're most comfortable with. And if we're really going to continue to make sure that we're preparing people the right way.
Well, I'm real comfortable on Twitter. And if you want to follow Sam's company on Twitter, it's at one, the numeral one, HUDDLE underscore. And you see some interesting things there. You see you're down in Florida at IMG and training. Every day is game day down there. I mean, this takes gamification to a new level. And you're down there and you train those people, too.
Yeah, so one of the things that we learned, John, is, you know, when we started the company, we were very targeted. We wanted to work with salespeople. That was our first target. And, you know, as a founder, one of the things I learned is we grew. We signed Madison Square Garden. We signed the Golden State Warriors. We signed ESPN. We signed Audible, an Amazon company. We started to sign these companies that were using us for their salespeople. And I started to look around the rest of the organization. Heck, here in D.C., you're looking at Capital One Arena. When you go to a Caps game, you interact with, there's 2,400 people that show up on game day to work and guard that arena. And those folks are food and beverage, they're parking, they're security, They're frontline. They're ushers.
What happens if? There's a good scenario right there.
Right. And they have to know there's a lot of content that they should know. And one of the things we learned is salespeople shouldn't be the only one that get access to training. And that is where the company was originally branded Sales Huddle. And about 8 months ago, we rebranded to One Huddle because we've realized that, you know, there's one global workforce and there's one core problem that they face with getting access to great training. And we wanted to be the tool that expanded beyond just the folks who are in the sales corner of the organization or the revenue generating corner of the organization. But if we help the entire if we focus on the foundation of the workforce as well, we create opportunity that goes all the way up as opposed to trickling all the way down.
In the federal world, people are moving to something called Salesforce. And it's just a cloud-based solution for doing many different things, including managing cases. But there's training involved in just something as simple as moving to Salesforce. Salesforce and the federal government and training, I think it hits so many different aspects. And many times, if it's an application or if it's something to do with information technology, people go get the CIO and get some PowerPoint slides and have them sit in the room. And the word efficacy was used earlier in the show. I got a question how effective that's going to be. But let's take a break, come back. We'll talk more about being effective and why training shouldn't suck. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Our guest today is Sam Cayucci. He is the CEO at One Huddle. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM in the studio. Sam Cayucci, that's C-A-U-C-C-I, if you want to look him up. And he's the CEO at a company called One Huddle. You can go to Twitter, @OneHuddle_. You can go to YouTube. I think they have 32 videos there, all kinds of ways to learn about this. This is just outside the box. This is a new and different way to learn about cybersecurity mandates, to learn about training truck drivers, to learn about safety, to learn about healthcare, to learn about compliance in the health. Believe me, you get say the word compliance to a bunch of people, their ears are going to perk up and go, how can I get my people to comply and meet the requirements for this new regulation? And this is really important. And, you know, as much as I love putting on a suit and tie and getting 100 people in the room and telling bad jokes and going through slides, that might not be the most effective way these days.
I think the reality is training is not an either or, it's an and. So if you have a really sound approach to learning and development and training, you're going to have a bunch of tools in your toolbox that you deploy. That's what when we talk to most people, that's the thing that we're communicating. And I think that organizations, especially in the federal government, content is rich. You know, when we work with small to mid-sized companies, that's a totally different game, John. They don't have the content. So now you don't have the content, you don't have the platforms. You really do have the few managers who are just winging it when they run a training. So when you're in an environment where you have great content, we're talking about compliance training. We're trying to get people to think about it, consume it, understand it. And part of that is we just got to get them to access it. And if I'm accessing it on a laptop or a browser from my desk and I'm doing three other things while this is playing in the background, you know, let's just be real. That's not effective. Now, that might check the box and that, you know, we could say we tried. But I think today more than ever, we could all agree that we have a workforce that's about to be impacted by automation at a immense scale. Robotics and what is happening to the nature of work. I was reading a study the other day. By 2030, you're looking at 30% of jobs are going to have over 60% of their work completely automated. And disruption beyond that number is going to be extremely heavy in frontline, retail, cashiers, transactional-based work. So with all of that coming, it means that not only do we have to upskill better, but we're going to have to reskill next because work is changing. And that's changing in the federal government, and that's changing outside of the federal government. And we need tools that speed up the learning process more than ever.
Yesterday, I was at a drone conference, the largest drone manufacturer in the world. And they talked about in the year 25 or 2020, there'll be 42,000 drones out there available, and they can't find people to fly them. And if I had to get an 18-year-old and teach him how to fly a drone, I would think that this is the training platform I would use. I mean, if you wanted to fly a drone, you don't want to sit in a classroom. What you want to do is maybe 5 minutes here, 8 minutes there, 10 minutes there, 8 minutes there, all of a sudden. And by the way, it could be combined with classroom training too. Mm-hmm. So it's no limitation here. There's no exclusivity. I think I would try to get someone to do maybe four or five modules before they got in the classroom, maybe a half hour class, bang, come back the next week, and you can build on both. So it's not exclusive. It works together, doesn't it?
No, and this is the thing we'll say. Nobody would get on a plane with a pilot that just read the manual. But that happens every day of the week in work, right? We read the manual, we sat through the lecture, and now we're obviously, you know, we're ready and we're thrown out there to learn on the go. Training is supposed to be difficult. You're supposed to struggle through it. You have to consume it. We have to create a flight simulator of sorts. And again, in you mentioned the Army earlier, you know, in branches of our military, they have war games. They build some really powerful game platforms
war,
to prepare.
I never connected the dots. War games.
There you go. And they build them for our troops to be able to get up trained faster and in a non-stressful situation because they're about to go into a really stressful situation. And it's the same thing in the workplace. And I use that word stress on purpose because when you come into work and you want to do a good job and you need to make money and, you know, you have college loans behind you, that's stressful. And we have to make training something that empowers people, makes them feel good about themselves, gets them to consume it, not something that, you know, they feel like they have to accomplish.
Went to Twitter this morning and I typed in one huddle underscore and I saw all kinds of tweets. This guy, Ben Powers again, he said, hey, I just got this badge. And he put this badge on Twitter. It's like a black circular thing or something. So what did he get a badge for? What's this badge thing mean?
Yeah, so every game you build on our platform, you can create a achievement for. And the achievement is a badge. And, you know, especially in spaces in the federal government where you have compliance testing or certificates that have to be achieved, instead of calling it a certificate, which is what it really is, we call it a badge. And when, let's say we spun up a game on harassment training, and we would create a badge for that game that can be achieved if certain things are completed or accomplished. So you might have to score 100%. You might have to play it 10 times. You might have to be first in the leaderboard. But now learners on the platform are competing against each other to achieve these badges. And, you know, again, crazy that we have people out there in the workforce sharing on social media that they are achieving badges on training. Again, I haven't seen a lot of people go out there and share their certificate that they downloaded from completing a required training before.
Now, continuing education CE credits, you can go to a webinar, fire up a webinar on accounting and new tax laws, and then get your little phone out and watch the highlights from the Wizards game and then get continuing education credits for that. I'm just amazed. Where's the efficacy? How practical is that? If something happened, would you really going to take away anything from that? I don't know. But small, short doses that can build on which and maybe coordinate with more formalized training. It seems like it's a practical, inexpensive way to accomplish many of the tasks that my listeners have.
Yeah. So what we see is when let's say a game, you want a game to be deployed for training. You can set on our platform that this game should be played three times a week for the next 4 weeks. The user can access that game whenever they want or within the periods you want them to. And for example, let's say they complete those games on a weekly basis. We're not letting them play as much as they want, John, which is important because from a competitive perspective, you don't want the cherry picker at the, you know, out sitting underneath the hoop just playing as many times as possible. So we give them only a certain number of attempts they can complete. And then as they complete them, this is one thing we see on our platform. Within 30 days of gameplay, if you play a game once a day, we see anywhere between a 40 to 60% increase in knowledge retention. If you stop playing the game and then you wait 60 days and retest, that's the key now. How much of that did you forget? We see a 3% drop off in content. You compare that with other learning tools.
Webinars.
Probably see an 80, 90% drop off in knowledge retention.
You know it. That's a fascinating topic. So give us two or three areas where you think would be applied for my listeners, the federal government. I named off, you know, healthcare and maybe FEMA training. I mean, new things happen all the time, new compliances. In my world, there's something called the CISSP, which is a security compliance. And what people normally do is they study books and take a test, or they can go to online courses and take a test. And this test is the differentiator. You can pay money to take this test.
Yep.
I would think that individuals may want to do some game-based training in order to save money on retaking tests.
Right. Yeah. And I think there's a number of areas. I would say number one is definitely the compliance bucket. So, and there's a bunch of different applications in that space, depending on where you're looking. But with compliance training, the games can be used as either pre-learning ahead or to actually deliver the training or as post in order to gauge reinforcement of material. You know, that's kind of one big area. The second is within branches in the federal government where we have to onboard new hires quickly. So when we do have somebody joining our team, how quickly can we get them from 0 to 60 miles an hour? A lot of organizations are using our platform pre-day one as pre-learning to make sure that when they put them through their mandatory onboarding and e-learning courses that they have to complete as part of their start, they already have, like, the batteries are, I always say the battery's half charged. Like when you buy the iPhone and the battery's already at 80%, it makes you feel good. So when you walk in on day one and you already understand 80% or have been exposed to that, it makes your job easier from a training perspective. You can say less and you can focus on higher level areas for training.
Got 40 seconds left here. Tell us what's going to happen with this market in the next 5 to 10 years. Gamification going to blow up? Is it going to be combined with standard training? Where's it going to happen? Got about a minute.
Yeah, I think big learning companies are going to try to acquire us. So that's my bet. I think you have a lot of large players in the e-learning space. You know, I think that you're seeing
Lynda's one. I mean, it's good on and on.
You see Lynda, you have Cornerstone, you have SAP SuccessFactors. You have these big, again, they're the aircraft carriers I was mentioning. And I think what they've failed to try to do what we're doing because of how they're architected. So I think you're going to see a lot of smaller companies, not just us. We're gamification for training. You're going to see assessment tools that are popping up that are smaller, lightweight solutions, and they're eventually going to all come together.
Well, thanks for coming in today. And this is kind of a different show for us, but I think my listeners have to train new hires in cybersecurity. And how can they do it that's the cheapest way and what's the most effective way? I think this is one option you got to have in your toolbox. And consider it because it's a very practical, down-to-earth option. It works in the commercial world, and I think it can work for my federal listeners as well. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest, Sam Cayucci, CEO at One Huddle. Thanks, Sam.
Thanks, John.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy, Managing Partner at the Oakmont Group. Download this show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Search Federal Tech Talk.